Candice, how are
Hi,
you?
I'm so excited to be talking to you right now.
Likewise, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad that we connected. Don't worry about the email. No worries. I'm glad we're talking. How are you?
I need to get my heart rate down. I don't know if you knew this, but I actually had a podcast recorded or scheduled with you like 2 years ago.
Okay.
But then I found out I was pregnant. So then I left the inner circle. I canceled my podcast with you. And I was like, you know what? Like, this isn't the right time. It's just so funny because right now is like the perfect time
Oh,
because
good.
my daughter is actually the same age as yours. She's my second though, so I'm a little ahead of the game with the
Got
kid
it.
thing.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
It's wild. My first did not prepare me for my second at all.
Really?
Oh God, no. Oh no.
What ha the first one was very easy, and the second one's a little bit nuts.
My son is chill and great. Like, she's still great, but my son is just so easy, and she's spicy and sassy and like stands on chairs and demanding.
Oh, geez.
But you know, that's just the way it goes with kids. I've heard you say that multiple times. Like, people always tell you, oh, just wait for
Yes,
this.
exactly.
Anyways, yeah, it's been really fun though. I love motherhood. It's been a dream of mine. Like, every time you talk about fatherhood, I'm like, oh, that's how I felt about motherhood.
Yes, yeah.
It's so good. I'm
What's the age gap between them?
They are 20 months apart, exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's
So
awesome.
I found out I was pregnant on my son's first birthday.
Wow, that's so exciting.
That was not part of the plan. I was actually on birth control and still breastfeeding,
No
and
way.
it still happened. So it was meant to
Well,
be.
that's amazing.
It was perfect. And we were actually in the middle of a remodel on our house,
Oh,
which is funny because you've talked about contractors, and I know you're
yes.
going through it right now with your house. And we had to change contractors. And before we changed, I told my current contractor, I was like, look, I just found out I'm pregnant. You're supposed to have been done 3 months ago. You're not
Yeah.
even close to done. You now are on a time clock. Like, I have to be in my house because we weren't in our house. We were in a temporary house. So it was
Oh,
wild.
that's a
It was
mess.
wild.
But it's
Anyways.
all good now.
Oh my God. And my house is
Good.
beautiful and the children are great. So everything's good, which is why I've had such a great year this year. I know you commented on my post today that like I'm officially down. So the technicalities is one of the things I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
In January of this year, I was 250 pounds.
Okay.
That's what I weighed after traveling for Christmas and New Year's. And once I started like actually tracking my calories and tracking my workouts and tracking my weight loss, I started closer to like the 240 range.
Okay.
So technically, I sh like since January, I'm down because I'm 207 today. So,
Well, that's fucking awesome. That's
right. It's
absolutely
amazing.
incredible.
It's
Yes.
amazing no matter what. The numbers
Yes.
don't really matter. But it's funny because in my mind, I'm like, well, I wasn't really 250 pounds, but I was. Like, that's
You
what the
were.
scale
The scale
said.
said 250. You were 250. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So that was just one of the things I've kind of been trying to almost like a self-sabotage, like not give myself enough credit. Like, no, you didn't really work that hard. But no, I freaking did. I worked really hard.
I mean,
And
think about it this way. Like some people might see that number and then they just go the opposite direction. You saw that number and you're like, now I'm gonna like really start and I'm going to put all this time and effort. And other people maybe would have gotten demoralized at that number, and then that would have been the lightest that they saw for a while, and then it would have kept going up. So it's like it doesn't really matter whatever it says, but the scale, you were 250. That's what the scale said. So yeah, that's absolutely right.
And it's funny as you say that because the 250 like crushed me. That was the heaviest I'd ever been. I was postpartum. I was still breastfeeding at the time. And I just kept telling myself, like, there's no way I could ever get where I want to go. And I had been following you. I had been like consuming all of your content. I have been following you for like 2.5 years.
Thank you.
And I have listened to once I caught up on all your podcasts, it's like, I need more. I need more Jordan. I need to learn more. So I started listening to your podcast with Mike, which
Oh my gosh.
I am obsessed with Mike Vacanti. He is the type of person I would absolutely hate in person. but I love him so much. So, no, he's like, so like, he seems like a smart ass, like very black and white.
Yes.
But I love the difference between you two and how you guys communicate and what you guys talk about. It's so great. Like I listened to
Thank
your new one
you.
today, and I didn't get all the way through it because I listened to it during my cardio, but I got to listen to my music when I lift. So I only
I
get
feel
as far
you.
as I can in my, in my podcast with my cardio. So, anyways, where was I going with that? Oh, just consuming all of your content. So when I hit 250, something just kind of clicked. Like I was like, we got to do something. Like I want to be the fear with like having kids. It's like, I want to live long enough to meet my grandkids. I want to be able to pick up my grandkids. I want to be able to pick up my kids as long as I can. And I don't want, you know, the back pain and all the surgery. The other side of it is that I work in health insurance. So I hear about people's medications, the surgeries they're having. I just, all of these people that are having so many health conditions, diabetes, and just can't, so much cancer. It's terrifying. And I'm like, I need to do the best for me and my body and for my family. And so I finally made that switch. And so I finally started tracking and following a workout. I did Unicorn Strong. I did another program for 12 weeks. I did Unicorn Strong. I just finished the dumbbell only workout last week. And then I just restarted it this week because I wanted to talk to you about that. So, I've been very consistent. The working out is not the problem. Actually, I won't even say there's a problem. There's no problem. Like, things are so good. It's more
on it. You're crushing it.
My question for you, really, the point of this for me is, where do I go next? Like, I am loving lifting heavy. I've always lifted weights. Like, I used to have a personal trainer back when I was in my 20s that was like, hey, how's it going, Candace? Like, if he ever hears this, he's gonna die at that. But, you know, like, was a power lifter back in like the 80s, you know, like you know what I mean, those guys. And so I've always lifted weights, but I've never pushed myself the way that I am right now.
Okay.
My goal for the end of the year between November and December was to use a 50-pound dumbbell. Like, I don't care what I do, I just want to do it. And so I did it. I did dumbbell rows with a 50 last week, and
Shut
I
the
did
fuck up.
goblet squats with a 50 today.
Wow, let's go. Dumbbell rows with a 50 is no freaking joke. That is
No. I did dumbbell rows with a dead stop because that was the exercise I was on. And I literally was like, this is my last workout of the dumbbell only. Let's go. Like, let's try it. Because before I hit 50, I was probably, I think I was at 40s, 45 maybe. And I was like, you know what? Just pick up the 50. Just try it. If you fail, that's okay. Like, you at least you tried and you know. So I tried it, and I don't know, I always get this weird adrenaline in the weight room, like the weight area, because there's a lot of women at my gym, but there's always a bunch of big dudes too. And I was like, I'm going to pick up the 50 weight right now. I'm so excited.
It's so badass. That is like truly badass. And then obviously the squat is nothing to sneeze at, but I mean the 50 pound dead stop dumbbell row, like that's wildly strong.
Yeah, it felt really good. So
you're
my
not going to
goal
have to
now,
worry about picking your kids up. Like,
I know, right? It's I honestly picture like an emergency, like having to lift a car off us or something, like an emergency, like having to lift something super heavy off of my kids or off of myself. That's why I do it, honestly. Like, and
I love that.
I love the feeling and the look of muscles. I'm not gonna
Of
lie, love the
course.
aesthetics. But yeah, so my goal is now 100, obviously, like got to
Of
keep
course.
going. And I mean, Susan did it, right? I'm going to do it.
She's such a
So
savage. She's just outrageously strong. It's wild.
She's amazing. But where was I? Sorry, I forgot where I was going with that. But look at this. Look at that. I have a lot I want to ask you. We don't have to talk about all of it. But one thing I definitely wanted to bring up is your book, really, that's where it started too, is your book. And I have purchased it for friends. I have told friends to get it. I have told everybody about it. I've posted about it on social media. Like, it is the most straightforward thing to, if you're in a weight, if you need to lose weight or want to lose weight, like that is such a good place to start because you put it very straightforward. It has such great like humor. I listen to the audiobook, so again, listening to you and Mike, it's just so good. It's so good. It has your guys's personality in it. I love the, what was the character's name you got? Pitts. Oh my
Hits.
gosh, when you guys talked about that in the podcast, like, oh my gosh, that's so funny because I've always wondered, Pitts, who
Got
named,
so mad at us.
like, who named their kid Pitts, first of all? Second of all, is this a real life story? No, it's just you guys being you guys, really. That's hilarious. So yeah, I'm obsessed with your book. So I'm trying to figure out where to go from here for 2024. My goal for 2023 was weight loss, fat loss. Obviously, I've done that,
You've
a
killed it.
decent amount. I still have goal weight. I have like 7 pounds to go before I hit my goal weight. I still feel like that is still a good thing for me to hit. I honestly would like to go further down, but I really like the idea of doing a bulk cut situation. I don't know. I don't know. That's just like where my brain went was, okay, this is what we should do. Let's ask Jordan. So do I just jump into the monthly additions for my workouts
Got it.
and just hit those heavy weights? Do I adjust my calories? Like, where, what are your thoughts on where I should go? Because I'm
Got it.
open to go wherever. I just want to keep losing fat, but I love the gain of muscles because I've just fallen in love with that significantly the last few months. But I need a track to be on. I can't just keep, because I've done just the calorie deficit all year. So I'm kind of showing up maintenance. You
Burned
know where
out a
I'm
little
going with
bit,
that.
like burned out a little bit. You've been doing it consistently since January. Like it's a long time. And you've heard me speak about all this in terms of there's like the Hail Mary approach. There's more of like the jab deficit approach. You've Hail Maried it, and you've just been super consistent. You've like over like 40 pounds now, like is what you or like
Close to
all
it.
about
Yeah,
40 pounds. Yeah, 40
almost 50,
pounds,
7 pounds will be 50.
which is just absolutely incredible. So now you don't have to abandon the goal of getting to 200 or below that. I do think from a mental perspective, more than anything, we should change it up a little bit, just like to keep you fresh and excited, and also chasing other goals that you're loving, the strength and the muscle as well. So there are a number of tracks we could take, but I think let's just remove the track of full on calorie deficit for right now and discuss a couple of the other options. One option, and probably the simplest option from the implementation of it, would just be going straight into maintenance for a while. We increase calories purely to maintenance. In this scenario, at maintenance calories, your strength and muscle would be fucking awesome. You'd feel amazing in the gym. Like your workouts would just be wild. Your energy and mood would likely improve just in general throughout the day from the increased calories and all of that. And not to mention the extra progress you'd be making just from having extra energy. So everything would just be wonderful. Maintenance is just an awesome place to be. There's also the added benefit of when you're in maintenance, you're not adding any fat. So like you have the added mental boost of like, I love the way I look. Like maintenance is a really wonderful place to be. Now, there are two more options as I see it from here. We could do, and each of these options are more of a calorie cycling option. So rather than being just in pure maintenance, one option is maintenance some days, surplus other days. The other option is maintenance some days, deficit other days. Now, maintenance surplus, there would inherently be some fat gain with that. Anytime you're in a surplus, there would be.
Yeah.
Your strength gains would be tremendous. Your muscle gains would be tremendous. Psychologically, it would feel fantastic from the extra food, but also psychologically, there might be some mental games as well, because you know you'd be adding some fat before you've reached your end goal.
Right.
The maintenance some days, deficit other days, this would allow you much more of a body recomposition approach. This would allow you to continue in your calorie deficit overall, because you would be in a net deficit, but not every day. So you would still lose fat very slowly. You'd still be able to build muscle. I would probably put your maintenance days on your lifting days, just so you have more energy and you feel better, and put as much of that towards muscle growth as you can.
And then
the other side option would be maybe maintenance, pure maintenance for a certain amount of time, maybe throughout the rest of this year and however long you want to go, and then switching to maintenance plus deficit, like maintenance some days, deficit other days. Right. Out of all of those options, what to you sounds the most appealing?
Probably the maintenance deficit.
Okay.
Mostly because it's actually, right now I'm in a mini cut because I wanted to prove to people you can be in a mini cut during the holidays and you don't
love
have to
that.
Go crazy.
Yeah.
So that's been really fun to post about, for me. And honestly, some days it's really hard for me to even hit my calories right now. I'm at 1950 right now. And okay. On days that I'm really dialed in, especially busy with two toddlers, I can hit 150 to 170 grams of protein, 30 plus grams of fiber with like 1500 calories. And I'm like, that's not okay. Like
you're just dialed right now.
I am. And I love it. I need more calories, but that doesn't mean I need to go have a big old bowl of ice cream to hit my 18 or 1950, which honestly, sometimes that's what I do. Like,
good.
I just want my dessert at night.
Love
last
that.
Night, I literally ate Takis for dessert. Like those
are
spicy
so good.
Chips.
Oh my gosh. I love those.
I'm currently addicted.
Those are so underrated. Those are an incredible snack. Yeah, those are delicious.
And I was a hardcore hot Cheeto person. Like, my fingers were dyed red in high school because I loved them so much. But Takis are a whole different game.
Yeah.
And I buy a huge bag at Sam's Club, and I have to weigh out my portions, or else I will bottom of
the whole bag. Whole
bag,
yeah.
So I definitely weigh out my portions with those. Except last night,
watering. My mouth is watering now. Like, I'm actually like, oh fuck, I want Takis right now.
So one of the things I started doing, not to go on a Takis tangent, but I crush them up and I sprinkle them on top of my tuna salad.
Oh,
and
that
it
sounds
is
so good.
So good. Like, that has been I ate that probably a good 2 weeks in a row. It's so,
so
good.
Genius. That's
yeah.
Genius.
I've always been a chips in a sandwich kind of person. Like,
yeah.
Subway, I always sprinkle chips on it. I've always put like Lays inside my peanut butter and jelly. I love a crunch. That's my Takis, and
I like
weigh them out. I smash them up in a Ziploc bag and I sprinkle them on there.
No, that's actually like a genius idea. I'm gonna start doing that, like 100%. Like, after this, I'm gonna go out to the store, go get Takis, and make that. Like, my wife has that tuna salad that she makes, and the recipe guide that she just put out. And we always have a big tub of it in the fridge. I'm going to go make a bowl and put Takis on like tonight for dinner. That's amazing. And I'm so excited.
That makes me so happy. So actually, about the mini cut guide, I actually went through 4 recipes last week.
How were they?
I can't remember. They were so good. My husband loved them. I did my own twists on them, some of them.
Yeah,
it was
course.
The first time I've ever air fried shrimp. It did not go very well. I need to work on that.
Okay.
They're just so easy to overdo.
Yeah.
So I just got to work on it. But no, it was so good. The pesto chicken.
Oh, that one's amazing.
I have pesto chicken marinating right now. I might make that for dinner tonight.
Let's go.
So yeah, anyways. Where was I going with the Takis? Oh, the maintenance versus maintenance and deficit. So honestly, that's kind of what I've been doing. Like, before I started the mini cut on December 1st, I was in maintenance. Like, just with Thanksgiving, I did really well during Thanksgiving. I hate that. Well, good, bad, all that. I hate that mentality.
Yeah,
But
agreed.
I try. So I don't know if you remember this, but I put a question in the live a couple weeks ago about the holidays. And so, because I was like, I'm going to go into maintenance during the whole holidays. And I was like, and then you said, you don't have to do that. It's only 1 or 2 days in this time period. And I was like, you're right. I don't have to do that. So I did a deficit as much as I could. And then the day of Thanksgiving was very low key. So
Perfect.
honestly, I don't think I even went into surplus. I
Oh,
probably
wow.
stayed in maintenance on Thanksgiving. I didn't have seconds. If I'm at a party or a celebration or like a group thing, I will overeat. If it's just me at home with family, I will not overeat. And that's what it was. My parents were in town. My dad made a turkey and we had some sides and I just didn't feel the need to overeat. And then I didn't even have my pie until later at night after my children went to bed. I was like, now I can enjoy my dessert without somebody needing something from me. So yeah, Thanksgiving was fine. And Christmas is going to be the same thing. Like, it's just my in-laws in town. We're just going to be home. So I'm not super worried about it. It's more when the stress comes up, like right now I'm in my busy season with work. So, because it's open enrollment for health insurance. If you need health insurance, go get it now. So I went from not working hardly at all to working like 10-hour days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I have scheduled out my time. I have been so good with the gym, like adjusting myself. I mean, how do you lose this much weight and not adjust things? You cannot be rigid. I know you've talked about that. You have to be flexible. So before I would go to the gym, like, because I have kids, so I use the childcare. So I would always have to book the time for the kids. And so I would go like maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock. Well, with work, I have to get the kids to daycare by 7, and I have to be at my desk between 9 and 10. And I make the gym work in that time frame. Like I'm at the gym by 7:30. I get my cardio and my lift, and I'm home and at my desk by 9:30.
That's
Like I
amazing.
have to make it work. There's no other option for me. So, and it helps that I work out for my mental health. Most of it is for my mental health, not for, I love the aesthetics, like I said, but a lot of it is for my mental health. So yeah, so I feel like I've been kind of in a maintenance until I did this deficit, very intentional mini cut, which has been great. I've been really enjoying it. So yeah, I feel like more of an intentional, like having my maintenance days with my heavy lifting days, because I don't lift right now. I'm on a 4 times a week and it's not even heavy every time. It's like kind of, I take it easy some days. But I think that would be best.
I honestly, I very much agree with you. And you know, I would have no problem saying if I disagree with
Oh yeah,
you. As I was
absolutely.
outlining all the options in my mind, I was like, this is definitely the best for right now. For right now, I think that, or once this mini cut is over at whatever point, I think that's going to be the best thing to transition to. And what I'll say is, I think, I don't know what your ultimate goal is in
That's a
terms of like,
great question.
and we can get to that. But what I'll first say is you could literally just follow this until you get there or until you decide I've reached it. Even if like in your mind you have what your goal is, we'll talk about that in 1 second. If at a certain point you're like, I know I said this was my goal, but like I feel like I've gotten there already and you want to stop then this is what you follow. And this is sort of that what I call like the middle ground. This is where it's just like that boring time where you do the same shit over and over and over and over and over again, where you would literally just follow the maintenance plus calorie maintenance on lifting days, deficit on your other days. You follow that for however long until you're like, cool. And then you can make a slight shift. Cool. Maybe I'll go just maintenance for a little while. And then from just maintenance, you go maintenance plus surplus. And then if after that, you want to go back down to maintenance. And then from maintenance, you go into pure surplus, right? But they're slight shifts here and there. It's not, I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is they change everything. As soon as they just change the entire plan. When it's the reality is like right now, you're on such a good trajectory. There's no need to change it radically. It's just small adjustments along the way. So what is your goal as of right now? Like, what do you want to achieve?
Don't know. I know I wrote something about goals down. So I have to be honest with myself and say, obviously, aesthetics. Aesthetics.
Aesthetics, yeah.
Aesthetics. That's a hard word. Is obviously part of it. Like, I want to look good in my bathing suit. I want to look good naked. I want to look good in my clothes. But again, like the strength side of it. And it's, you know, it's really funny because this is one of the things I wanted to make sure I said. My goals have changed over time based on who I follow on social media, which
I
is
love that.
So interesting. Because in my 20s, when I wanted the tiny waist, big butt, thin leg, like Barbie, like unrealistic for most normal bodies, I was following like the fake girl accounts, like the accounts like back when you didn't even realize these were fake accounts and fake bodies.
Correct.
We didn't know the truth back then in like 2013. And now I follow you. I follow Ellen Aragon. I follow Mind Pump. Like I follow people that I have gone from following mostly women to honestly following mostly men now, which is
Interesting.
super interesting to me because I've shifted my focus from visual and what I want people to see to what I know mentally and what I can share with others to help them reach their goals.
I love that.
It's not about the tiny waist, the big butt anymore, which is why it's hard for me to say a goal really, because in my mind, goal has always been physical. My goal is to get all the knowledge, read all the books,
I
be
love
able to
that.
share this content with you. Like I'm blasting yourself all the time. Like segue, actually, I would love to become a personal trainer, like
Let's go.
Lightly. So it's kind of weird. I actually started something already. I don't have any training. I started a what's that company that does the personal training, like online? NASM? Is that one of them?
NASM, yeah,
Yeah.
NASM, yeah.
So I started that back in like my early 20s, and I quit right in the middle of it. I was like, nope, not for me. Too much math, which I know you get. You
I
and
feel that on a very deep emotional, spiritual level.
you and me in math, man. Yeah, no. School's not my thing. And then I wanted to do like the physique competitions. And I was like, nope, too hard. So now when I started posting my journey on social media, people were asking what I was doing, like so much. People were like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I'm like, well, that's complicated because I'm not doing a program, like an inner circle. I've already got one person to join the inner circle, which I'm super
Thank
stoked
you.
about. But I started talking about just habit. Like when I started, I just started tracking water, like just because that was something I could tangibly control. And then it was food, and then it was, you know, it was just a bunch of stuff added up. But and then I added the, believe me, I started at 100 grams protein every day. That was hard. That was so hard. And now I easily hit 150.
Let's
Like,
go.
and that's my goal, is to be able to do 170 easily.
Wow.
But well, because when I started following you, you were saying a gram per pound that you want to, like your goal body weight.
Yes.
And now you've changed that to
I've changed it.
0.7.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, I got to get to 175 grams protein. Screw that. That's hard. And figure out how to manage it with the calorie deficit. Anyway, so I started talking to people about habits. So I actually have helped a couple people already with changing their
Good.
habits. Because that's where it, and my tagline is change your habits, change your life.
Yep.
And so, because you can't, like, you're not going to change your life by doing a 21-day program. And
Correct.
you've talked about this. You're not going to change how your relationship with food in a 30-day program. Like,
Yep.
you're going to change your relationship with food over 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years. And
Correct.
that's how you create progress. It's not about what you can, how much weight you can lose in 21 days, because that's not real. Like that's not going to stick. And I've done that. I've done all of those things, you know? So it's, and that reminds me of the thing you said on your podcast with Mike that I heard today, was the one night stand versus long-term
Yes.
relationships.
Yeah.
And how, and I feel like everybody needs to hear that, because it's not just with coaching, it's with weight loss. Like it's with your relationship with food. It's with your consistency. Like your one night stand is not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to
Correct.
satisfy. You're just gonna be chasing the next one night stand. You're gonna be keep chasing that next
Yes.
short-term program for short-term results. But once you actually sit down and be honest with your person, or be, you know, connect like you would with a program that's long-term and sustainable, then you create this relationship. And in weight loss, you're creating a relationship with yourself. And it's
Exactly.
so, like, when I heard you, I literally wrote it down. I was like, I have to write this down because
I
this is so
love
good.
that. I love that.
So yeah, it just clicked for me. And just as a tool for me with my future people, if I turn it into a company, and just like kind of having that analogy, it was just really good.
Well, I'm excited for you. I think you would be an amazing coach. And I think anyone who
Thank
works with you would be very
you.
lucky.
Yeah, I got a girl to start drinking water. She drank like maybe 8 ounces of water. And then she
Oh,
came to
geez.
me and we talked, and now she's drinking consistently, like almost a gallon of water every day. And
Let's
she's pregnant
go.
now, so that kind of helped.
That's huge. That's awesome.
She's like a huge cheerleader for me. And then my best friend, I've been helping her. She's down. I actually don't know how much weight she's down, but she's super happy because she was doing one of those programs where they put you on a 1,000 calorie diet
Oh,
and tell
jeez.
you not to work out because you're not eating enough. I'm like, but then I was losing weight with my calorie deficit. And she was like, I want to do what you're doing because you're eating. I was like, heck yeah, I'm eating. Like, let's go. Let's go do this. Screw that. So she quit that. She gave me
Good.
$50. I showed her how to figure out her calorie deficit.
That's awesome.
And she's starting to work out at home. She's a single mom, so she has to make it work
Wow.
how she can.
Yeah.
So she's working out at home when she can, and she's hitting that protein. Like, it
Good for
changed
her.
everything for her. So yeah, I'm really excited. So I'm trying to figure out if I want to go to school or if I want to do like a personal training program or a nutrition program. I just wasn't sure what, I mean, obviously I should have joined the mentorship before you raised the price, but I wasn't in a position to do that at that time. So, I don't know. Do you have any advice on that? Like kind of where to go if I was wanting to help people? I 1,000,000% want to help people for free. Like
Yep.
that is definitely my goal right now. Unless they aren't making progress, then I'm going to have a talk about having skin in the game.
Yep.
But at first, 100% free, because I mostly because I feel like I don't have any credentials to really make money on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have two kids. I have a real job, or not a real job. I have a big girl job, kind of. I own my own business, so I never feel like I have a big girl job, but. Anyways, what would be your advice in that situation where like I want to start helping people, but I don't really know where to go for the credential side of things?
Yeah, so in terms of credentials, like some of the worst coaches I know have all the credentials in the world, and some of the best coaches I know have zero credentials. So when I'm speaking, I'm going to speak less about credentials and more about education. And I, as you know, my thoughts, like there are just so many ways to become educated that don't include putting letters after your name. There are some great programs. I think here's what I'll say. And obviously this first one, I'm biased, but I think the mentorship with Mike and I is incredible. It's really, really good. It's not the only one. But I think from a coaching perspective, behavioral psychology perspective, program design perspective, all that stuff, that's, you know, that's why we created it. Aside from that, I think a deeper level of nutrition knowledge, I think Precision Nutrition does a phenomenal job.
I think I looked at one of their programs too.
I did their program when I was either 21 or 22, and I know they've continued to update it. Precision Nutrition is a wonderful certification. At least it was when I did it. So I'm a big fan of them, and I'll always support them. So that's that. The what I would also say, and I know you've heard me talk about it, and you follow Alan, but Alan Aragon's Research Review. Do you subscribe to it?
I don't, but I
Subscribe.
should I? Okay.
Yes, it is. It is the sing. It's $10 a month. I've been a member since 2011, I think. It is. It's $10 a month, and as soon as you join, you get immediate access to every. It's like the Inner Circle. Actually, the Inner Circle is based off of like when I created the Inner Circle, it was because I was subscribed to Alan's Research Review, and he came out with a new Research Review every month, and I was like, well, I give my clients new programs every month, so why don't I just do that for the Inner Circle?
That's
And so
genius.
that was the inspiration for me to create the Inner Circle. So he has a new Research Review, but it's. his research review is geared towards coaches and people who want a higher level knowledge of the research, whereas the Inner Circle is obviously geared towards people who just want to improve their fitness and strength and nutrition. So the one of the major benefits of the research review, especially as a coach, is he teaches you how to read research, which is funny because I subscribed to it in 2011 when I was in college. I was in college for this stuff. And we had an entire class on how to read research. And I, number one, the amount that I learned in the class was fucking nothing compared to what I learned from Alan. Number two, I aced all of the exams based on what I learned from Alan, not based on what I learned in the class. Because he takes all the studies and he breaks it down step by step. Here's the study. Here's the abstract. Let's discuss the full text. Let's discuss the pros. Let's discuss the cons. And through doing this, you learn so much about the field of research, how it's conducted, what makes a good study, what makes a bad study, what indicates something that makes sense, what indicates something that doesn't make sense. It's such a remarkable resource that I couldn't recommend enough for $10 a month. And I get no kickback for saying any of this. Like, he's a good friend of mine, but I actually just contributed to the most recent research review he put out. He interviewed me about the glucose experiment that I did. I think precision nutrition from a credential and also from a education perspective, Alan's research review, just from the education perspective, I would say the mentorship that Mike and I have from an education, also community perspective. And what else? I think other than those, I would say, I would start going towards books. That's where I would start leaning towards in terms of education. In terms of strength training, because that's enough on nutrition. In terms of strength training, have you read any strength training books yet?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, so, I've only been doing the nutrition, like your book. I have Alan's book. I have Bourne. What's his first name?
Adam Bornstein.
Yes, Adam Bornstein. Yep. Yeah, so I have his book.
You've got the nutrition covered from an education perspective. I would say the first book I generally recommend people read, especially when it comes to strength training, is a book called Starting Strength by Mark Ripito. I will say there's a lot in the book I don't agree with. It's such a great book from the strength training perspective because it's so simple. And the program design is really genius. And I think from a beginner perspective, this is a great program for any beginner to start with. And the way he lays it out is great. I don't agree with all of the technique that he describes for the lifting technique. His nutrition guidelines are fucking horrific. So I just tell people don't even read the nutrition chapters. But the basic design of program for a beginner is truly phenomenal.
Okay.
The next book, the name is going right out of my, it's actually from Mark Ripito again. I think it's Practical Programming by Mark Ripito.
I've heard you talk about that one before.
This is the next level of program design that I think would make the most sense. This is higher level, phenomenal book. And I would say starting strength first from a beginner strength training perspective, then going into practical programming at a little bit of a higher level. I would say start with that. There are, if then we want to discuss the science of strength training, the next book I would recommend, and this is high level. This is like, if anyone listening is this is not for most people. There's an amazing book called The Science and Practice of Strength Training by Vladimir Zatsiorsky. This I think this should be required reading for every single person who wants to become a coach. It's a phenomenal book, and I think everyone should have it who wants to be a coach. Crazily enough, we did not have to read it in school. It's just, don't get me started. I'll just go off on school and educate and like general higher education. The Science and Practice of Strength Training from a deeper physiological perspective in terms of, in so many different ways, Science and Practice of Strength Training should be in the bookshelf of every single strength coach, and everyone should read it and continue to read it and refresh it. Those are the three books I would start with.
Okay. I got those written down. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
That's like where, and I know that like just working with people for free and having, what's the word I'm looking for? examples of people that I've worked with and they've been successful and I've coached them well and they have results. That's also another thing I'm working on. So yeah, and I'm a really good self-doubter, self-sabotager. So,
But you're also very good at being successful. You have your own business. You're crushing it this year with your training and nutrition. Like
yeah.
it seems like you're human and there are some things that you, it sounds like this is something you really care about.
It is.
And
It
it
is
sounds
because
like
I've
you've been.
wanted it for, and I feel like so many people who lose a lot of weight always want a coach. But
Yep.
I feel like I've wanted this for a really long time because in my 20s, I wanted to be a personal trainer, but I felt like it was not the right time. I wasn't willing to do the work. I was a 20-something year old. Things were different back
Yeah, things are
then.
very different.
Things were so different back then. I couldn't stay in one place for a year. So, yeah, things are different now. I'm a little more established in my life. So yeah, I'm excited to see where that goes. I've been very much on the fence about doing it, and my husband keeps bugging me. He's like, "When are you gonna start your business? When are you gonna start your business?" I'm like, after I talk to Jordan and get him to convince me, he's like, "I'm not enough convincing." I'm like, "I know, but it's Jordan."
I mean, I think you are definitely in a place where you're ready to, for sure. You're definitely in a place where you're ready. And I think you're smart. Start doing it for free, helping people. Because not only will they learn, but you'll learn. And then from there, as you get more comfortable, the more you learn, the more you'll be able to start charging people. But I think starting for free is a really great place to begin, especially whenever you're dealing with, here's what I say, you already have your, like you said, like your big girl job. You already have that. And then you also, so you have the advantage of not needing to make money from this business right now. If you were in your 20s and you're like, I need to make money to pay rent, and yeah, start charging immediately. But your advantage is that you aren't like, I need, if I don't make this money from training, then I can't pay for the roof over my head. I can't pay for food. That's your advantage because now you can spend more time slowly and progressively getting better and more knowledgeable without the added stress of the business side of it yet. You can just focus on being a good coach, which in the short term makes you less money. In the long term, helps more people and also nets you more money because you become a better coach with more results and a greater breadth of knowledge. So having not having the stress of needing to make it a business just yet actually is a huge advantage.
And so that kind of leads to my question about content creation. And I 100% agree with the long-term content factor versus short-term. Honestly, the thought of posting on social media for a business side terrify. I've had my business Instagram for like 6 months and I've hardly posted. I don't know why that's different than posting my bikini progress pictures on my own social media. It makes no sense. But for some reason, when it's behind a business, I get very nervous to post on it. But when it comes to the long term, you often talk about writing long term art or long form articles. You've also mentioned YouTube. So again, I'm on the fence about that. I'm on the fence about figuring this whole business thing out, but I feel like I am better with my words verbally than typing, and putting it on paper never was a strong thing for me. So when it comes to YouTube, just pop on and say that, like, how, I don't know. You've talked a lot about the writing, but I haven't really learned a whole lot about how to start a YouTube channel in that way, which we don't have to go over on here because
We
that's
can go over it. That's fine. I think you're great at speaking. You're
Thank you.
and again, like you know, if I didn't think you were, then I wouldn't say that. You are great at speaking. I think you absolutely can do very well on YouTube and on podcast.
Thank you.
I think you're better at speaking now than I was when I first started making content. And if you don't believe me, go to my YouTube channel, organize it by oldest to newest, and you'll see my first video. I was terrible. I was so
I
bad.
have watched your first YouTube video and your first podcast
Yeah.
when it was called like what was it called? A unicorn.
I
What was
don't
your
even
podcast
remember.
called in the beginning? It was called Unicorn something in the very
Oh, geez.
beginning.
I don't even remember that. That's embarrassing.
Your obsession with unicorns is so interesting to me.
Well, it started because it. Do you know the story of how that started?
Not how that. I know the unicorn blood coffee and the unicorn challenge, but I don't know how the unicorn
Well,
podcast
the
started.
unicorn became a part of my brand because one day I was obsessed. I love coffee. And I just happened to call it unicorn blood one day, and people freaked out. And I was like, cool, that's what I'm gonna call it from now. And like, when I say people freaked out, I've been doing social media for a long time, and I've never gotten a response to any story or any post as to when I decided to call my coffee unicorn blood in like 2017 or whatever. I got the most outrageous response. I was like, that then it became a part of my brand. And so that's why I started naming stuff unicorn. And
Everything
then,
unicorn.
so
So
I haven't
funny.
done it in many years since I like ended up stopping that business. But I don't even know how I got on that. But
We're talking about pod when you started your.
oh,
I
when I
am
first
better at
started,
speaking than when you
yes,
started.
you are much better at speaking than now when I than when I first started. So the difficult part is like, all right, like what do? I just get in front of the camera and start talking. That's exactly what you do. That's exact and
Cool.
The easiest way that I've found to make it happen is when you get in front of the camera, you imagine that you're talking to one person. And so, like the client that you have, maybe the single mother, right? The single mother who you've been helping, maybe she's been struggling to get her protein in. You imagine you're talking to her. And you're not actually talking to her, but you imagine you're like, hey, if you're struggling to get your protein in, here are three ways to make it easier. Number one, do this. Number two, do this. Number three, do this. And that could be the whole YouTube video. That's it.
So just picking a topic that.
You pick a topic, usually based off of a common question that people have. 97% of my YouTube videos are based off of common questions that people have. Even the, like, for example, the Instagram post that I made today, it's all based off questions that people have. The first part of the Instagram post was someone just asked me, how can I lose weight if I don't want to count calories? It's a real question I get all the time. So let me just answer it. So,
Gosh, don't you get tired of being asked the same thing over and over again? Because
yes.
I was thinking about coming on here and I was like, okay, what questions can I ask him? Well, he's talked about that in his podcast. I've read that on his Instagram. I know he has a podcast video about that question. So who am I to come on here and ask him these questions again? So I feel bad, like,
No,
but
it's,
I
you know what's funny is
just seems
I,
overwhelming.
anyone gets tired of answering the same questions, but I don't get tired of helping people. And that's where it's like, I love human connection. I'm an extrovert and I
Same.
love conversations like this. I love interacting with people. So when I have an opportunity to help someone in the same way, like you love helping people, you want to coach because you want to help people. You have the same passion that I have where, excuse me, you will, after a certain point, like there's only so many times you want to answer the same question. But when you realize the person behind the question is different and a unique individual, and they have the same fears and the same desires and the same emotional struggles, and you're passionate about helping that, then you'll answer the same question until you vomit over and over and over again, just because you have the opportunity to help someone. And you know, we're talking about one thing that I'm very interested in is workplace happiness. Like, why are people happy or unhappy with where they work? And one of the arguably the most common reason that people are happy with their job is when they can see the results that their job is having on other people. And so for me, I'm so blessed. I get to see it every day, multiple times a day. It's one of the reasons I like doing the Inner Circle Live Q&As every single week, is because I get every single week I get to see that. And then I go in the Facebook group and I see boom, 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 this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. So it's the best fucking feeling in the world. And it's selfish, and like it's the most
No.
amazing feeling.
I don't
So
think it's selfish.
it's selfish because I like how it makes me feel, but I don't think selfish is inherently a bad thing, right? Like, I think in order to be selfless, sometimes you need to be selfish. And I think actually, I was having this conversation with my wife like a week or two ago. I think we need to normalize the word being selfish is not a bad thing, right? It's like a continuum. You could take it to an extreme in which you're so selfish that you're a piece of shit. But if you're not selfish enough, then you also become a piece of shit, right? Like, if you are not selfish enough to take care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, if you're not selfish enough to prioritize what you need to do for you, then you will also be a piece of shit. So the continuum of selfish, I think there's a pretty big middle ground that actually makes you a better person and allows you to be more selfless to help other people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I absolutely get sick and tired of answering the same questions, but that's the surface level. The deeper level is I get to help people, and that makes me so happy.
It's funny that you say that, because that's why I still work in the job that I have with health insurance, because it's a horrible system. And I tell my clients this all the time. I do not make the system. It's crappy, but I'm here to help people navigate it, which is also funny because I grew up in a family business. We were one of the oldest standing franchisees in a large fast food restaurant.
Really?
And so my grandmother, who was forced into retirement at 90 years old, and my dad sold most of the franchise.
No way.
She was pissed. She's still mad 3 years later. Because she's starting to deteriorate because she stopped working. So So anyways, so she always said, we're not in the business of tacos. Here's a little hint. We're not in the business of tacos. We're in the business of people.
Yeah.
Because we had people who would drive past two other stores to come to ours, because ours was different. Because we took care of our employees. We kept managers for 30 plus years. Like, fast food restaurants do not do that often.
No, not at all.
They were family. So it was really hard when we let go of the franchise. But so I've kind of kept that mentality. Everything I do is to help people. It's hardly ever, I mean, I've worked in gyms, I've worked in grocery stores, I've been a nanny, and it's always like for the customer, for the person. So I feel like bringing that into helping people with their habits, and that's why I want to make sure I have the right education and the right information to share, so that they can change their lives based on truth and not based on just fast fixes.
Yeah.
So,
and you're in the, just knowing that. And I know you heard in the podcast with Mike and I, like, first do no harm, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, as long as you have that mindset of first do no harm. And then from there, that, you know, all the horseshit to avoid, the 21 day fixes, the rapid fat loss nonsense, like the ridiculous workout protocols that end up in injury. As long as you can start with the foundation of first do no harm, now how can I help? You're really starting off better than the vast majority of coaches.
Good. And you don't feel like it's oversaturated, because that's the other thing I get so nervous about, is there are so many coaches on social media, which I am terrified of social media. Like, I am not going to handle any kind of criticism very well at all. I don't handle criticism well, even from my own husband. I will hate him for days because of one small comment. I'm like, how
you
dare you?
You gotta get over that. You gotta get over that.
Honest with me.
you will get criticized. There's an oversaturation of people who call themselves coaches. There's an undersaturation of actually good coaches. And ironically, you'll end up being criticized by the people who think they're good coaches, but they suck. And their opinion doesn't fucking matter, because they're not going to pay your bills anyway. So whatever. I get criticized all day, every day, constantly.
I can't imagine. I mean, you talked about it with, oh my gosh, why am I blanking on your podcast guy's
Tony?
Name? Tony. Love Tony. Tony, awesome. Shout out Tony. You're amazing. when you guys were talking about the death threats and everything,
it's crazy.
I cannot imagine somebody actually typing that out and sending it to another human being.
Yeah. Like, it's wild.
And then for you to open it and see it and read it and in turn, like, take it in, like, that energy,
That last part. So opening it, reading it, I used to internalize it. Like, I really used to. And I'm not going to say I don't anymore. It sort of depends. Throughout my career, early on, if someone said I was wrong about fitness stuff, I would internalize it. Or if they called, I would internalize that. And I'd be like, oh, I'm a bad coach. Oh, like, my ego, whatever it is. Now with fitness stuff, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, someone tried getting in an argument with me the other day. I got these like boots to hang upside down just because I saw them in movies when I was a kid. And I was like, I've always wanted that. And like, yeah, it's a good ab workout. But I wrote in my story, I was like, this is completely non-essential.
Right.
I didn't say it's worthless. I just said it's a non-essential piece of equipment that I just wanted to have for fun. This one guy was like, you're completely wrong. They're absolutely essential. And I was like, if I was younger, I would have went into a whole fucking argument. Da, da, da. It's like, whatever, dude, if you want to think they're central, fine. I don't give a cool. shit.
Good
so
for you.
I think the more exposure you get to it, the more almost calloused you become to it. It's like, you know, lifting callous. When you first start lifting, your hands hurt, or you put the bar on your back to squat and it hurts. But over time, you get used to it. Same thing with that, where I think there are probably many people who could do amazing things on social media who didn't get calloused enough to really get themselves to the point in which they could help more and more and more and more people and do really amazing things, because they internalized it. And now it's all that callous acts like a shield. It doesn't matter anymore. So you're going to get criticized. You will understand it. If you join that social media world, you're going to get criticized. And I would say, look at it as a rite of passage. And like, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not encouraging people to do it, but it's going to happen. And that is what it is, but it's worth it. When I'm 100 messages of negatives is all worth it. If I get one person saying this completely changed my life, it's all worth it immediately.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. The callous thing. I like that. I also lately with human behavior in person, I've been saying that seems like a trauma response. So I feel like that's how I need to see it on social media. Like, somebody hurt you.
Yes.
You haven't processed it.
Yes.
You have trauma that is guiding your behavior, and this is not my fault. This is not on me. This is on you.
That's exactly right.
So I feel like that's something I have to, because I haven't had anything bad sent to me yet based on just the few things I've posted.
Yeah.
But I also don't have that large of an audience yet. So, and I do not want to go viral. I do not want like a million followers. I just want to help people. That's it.
Watch, so, now you're going to have a million followers and you're going to go viral and you're going to get like the nastiest messages.
When you actually, I'm surprised I didn't get something, because you shared one of my progress photos.
Yes.
One time, and I was like watching the likes. I was like, we're going to hit 1,000. We're going to hit 1,000. We got to like 850, which was still really exciting. But then I got really nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, what if somebody says like something horrible about me, like how gross my stomach is or something. But it was so fun, like having you share that. I was like, oh my gosh. Also,
your progress is extraordinary. I'm more than happy and very proud to share it.
Thank you. Also, side note, I am baffled that there are people in this world who don't know who you are. A girl at the gym that I'm friends with, I was telling her, we were both picking our kids up at the gym today, and I was like, it's gonna be such a good day. She's like, why? I was like, I'm getting to talk to like Jordan Syatt. And she was like,
who's that?
Who's that? I'm like, how do you lift weights and you don't know who Jordan Syatt is? It was so funny. Like, how do people not know who you are? It blows my mind. Like,
that makes me very happy.
The
more I've grown, the more I've been like, yeah, I want to get off of people's radar, especially like,
I'm sure,
just walking around with my wife and daughter. I'm like, like, never mind.
Especially now that you have a kid, like I could see how that could change. Like, moving from the city, that was such a good move. I just heard you talk about that on your podcast, like what part of the reason why you left the city. But yeah, the suburbs are where it's at, man. I loved living in the city when I was single, but I love living in the suburbs with kids.
Oh my god. And it's just like seeing the stars, hearing the birds, walking outside in your bare feet. Mm-hmm. Like, walking outside in the city bare feet is not a good idea. No. From someone who's tried it, not a good idea.
Especially New York City, crazy person. Oh man, I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I wanted to bring up. Say that, what were you going to ask?
I was going to say, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Well, so I've been really focusing on zone 2 cardio.
Okay, nice.
And I know in the monthly editions, you typically have like one day of zone like 4. I don't know what zone you
say. Zone 4,
like
zone 5. Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't done that yet, because one of my pride and joy statements I get to make about my weight loss is that I'm on a journey to lose 50 pounds, and I'm not doing a single fucking burpee, and I'm not running a single fucking mile. And I have not eaten a single piece of kale. Like, I'm doing it my way, which, by the way, is why I've been successful.
Yes.
Because I'm not trying to fit my progress in somebody else's guidelines. Like,
I love that.
Kind of. But like, I'm doing it my way. That's why I've been successful and why I've been consistent, because I'm actually enjoying the journey this time.
Amen.
Which is why the journey is longer than before, because I was like, I don't want to eat kale anymore. I don't want to do burpees anymore. I don't want to go to CrossFit anymore. But that's what I was doing at the time. So when it comes to zone two, I am thoroughly enjoying. Right now, I'm on a treadmill kick. When I first started cardio, like consistently, like 2 years ago, I started a spin class. I was postpartum with my son. So I guess 3 years ago, I was postpartum with my son. So I started with spin class, fell in love with it because we have a spin class that has like the virtual path. It's so fun. It's so fun. I did that all throughout my pregnancy. I literally was in spin class until like the week I had my daughter.
Wow.
And then kept doing spin for a little bit after she was born. And then I started doing the rower. I loved the rower. And I will say I did not change from the rower to the treadmill because I listened to a podcast of you talking about how much you and Mike hate rowers. I swear that is not why I changed. I had planned to change that week anyways. But it's so funny because I listened to it, I was like, oh, now I'm changing because I heard them say that. Damn it. Anyways, so I did the rower for like 3 months. Loved it.
Good.
It was fine. It was good until it wasn't. So then I changed to incline walking on the treadmill, which I'm absolutely loving because I can do emails, I can do social media, I can do phone calls if people aren't around me. Because I go to a big gym, I go like a big box gym. So I'm really liking the treadmill. The idea of running pisses me off just thinking about it. So I'm like, can we just do zone two for, because I'm right now I'm 5 to 6 days a week of zone two.
That's fucking awesome. That's amazing.
I do it before my lifting. That's the rule. And that's when I listen to my podcast. Because I used to do cardio after lifting.
Yep.
And I was like, why am I doing this? I hate this. Like, let's get our cardio done. Let's get our legs warmed up. Let's get our blood pumping. And then let's go lift some heavy shit. And that's what I do.
I love that. That's exactly what I do.
Yeah, it's way better. So do I need to add in zone four or five, or can I just keep at the zone
no,
two
you,
business?
You do not need it. Now, when I say you do not need it, that's, do you need it for fat loss? No, you do not need it, as you know. Do you need it for, if you were saying, hey, I really, really want to improve my VO2 max for all of the benefits that come with a higher VO2 max, then I would say, yes, you absolutely need it. I would say if we're going back in time to earlier this year in January, when you first started, if you had said, do I need to do high intensity training in order to improve my athletic performance at that point in time, I would have said, no, you need to start doing some zone two cardio. You need to get in shape. You need to lose like however much weight, get stronger. That wouldn't have been necessary at that point in time, even with the same goal.
Yeah.
Now, because you are significantly stronger, you have a significantly greater aerobic base, you are significantly more athletic, you are a more advanced lifter and trainee. Now, if you're like, hey, I want to improve my VO2 max specifically so that I can have a better athletic performance, then yes, you would have to. It doesn't have to be running. It could be on the bike. It could be on the rower. It could be on any, it could be kettlebell swings. There's so many ways to do it, but you could even do it like some protocols. You could use a barbell, like you could do with front squats type of thing, that's like the fucking worst one, by the way. It's like awful, but you could do high intensity training in many capacities, but once a week is plenty.
So it's really funny that you say that because I've been watching my heart rate during my workouts and I'm actually very close to zone 4 or 5 during my workout.
Yep. I believe
which
it.
Is we, I'm like, my heart rate is way higher when I work out than when I do cardio.
Because
I'm at an incline of like 10 at 2.5 speed. And
that's
I
awesome.
Get my heart rate gets up. It's funny because at first I was like, why is my heart rate taking so long to get to zone two on days that I don't have my kids in the morning? Like if I drop them off from school. But on like today, I had my kids for 2 hours before I got to the gym.
Oh, geez.
And my heart rate immediately was in zone two. I was like, oh, it's because I'm running and my body's already basically there from running around with getting kids in the car and getting them out of the car and getting jackets on because we live in Colorado, so it's freezing here. But yeah, my zone or my heart rate when I'm lifting, especially leg day, like today, I was like in 160. For me, that's high.
Yeah.
Like when I'm in zone two, I'm 130. But for my lift today, I was in and out of 160 because I was lifting heavy. I mean, I was doing heavy
weights, I'm sure you've heard me say this. That's exactly what I mean by when you do a high intensity training session, it's the same energy system as when you're doing heavy, heavy strength training. It's the same energy system. It's not the same results from a muscular or strength perspective, but you're using what's called the anaerobic energy system. It's the exact same energy system. Now there are different benefits to it and there are differences. So when you do a heavy deadlift or heavy squat, you'll probably go into zone four, zone five oftentimes, especially if it's like a little bit of a longer set, but then you're going to want to take a 3 to 5 minute rest usually. Right. Whereas
that's the purpose of 3 to 5 minute rest. I never understood that.
You take that 3 to 5 minute rest partly because, the main reason you take it is because you need that long to recover if you're going, and this is actually where the science and practice of strength training by Vladimir Zatsiorsky comes in. You learn a lot about something called rate coding. You learn a lot about neuromuscular relationships. You learn a lot about motor unit recruitment with your muscle fibers. And it's very difficult to get the most out of your heavy strength training if you're operating from a fatigued perspective, which is why if you're going to do HIIT training, high intensity training, you should not do that before your heavy lifting. And it's also why you need to take longer rest between your heavy, heavy sets so that you have the opportunity to fully recover. So you get the best best neuromuscular recruitment, all of that. The difference with HIIT training though, with high intensity interval training, you will have shorter rest periods and have that you'll sustain that higher level of heart rate for a longer period of time. So with the weightlifting, you might hit 160, 170, 180, whatever it is, your zone five, you might hit that for a few seconds, then boom, it should come back down pretty quickly. And then you have several minutes of rest, then you do it again. And you only get a number exposures. You get a number of exposures to that level.
Right.
Whereas for high intensity training, you have way more exposures and for a much longer sustained period of time. So really the longest rest you'll see during the high intensity interval trainings that I program are like maybe like a minute and a half, 90 second rest. And that's the longest you'll see. Like sometimes they're 10 second rest, sometimes they're 20 second rest. It really depends on what we're going for, but that's the main difference. So you are training the same energy system, but in a different capacity. So from an anaerobic perspective, specifically for your VO2 max, if you want to improve your athletic performance, and there are some health benefits to having a higher VO2 max, but I think the vast majority of people, you get the 99.9% of those health benefits from improving your zone two. Once you reach a certain level of trainee, once you reach a certain level of fitness, you're not going to improve your VO2 max from zone two anymore. You need to go into those higher levels and you need to do that consistent high intensity training. But if you just want to lose fat and be healthier, you don't need to be doing high intensity training in order to get those benefits at all.
Okay. So I definitely need to start doing longer rest periods.
Yes.
Because I'm definitely not. Mostly because I'm on a time crunch. But
I was just about to say, because you said you have to be in and out. And like you said, some days you lift really heavy and some days it's a little bit lighter. If it's a lighter day, you don't need to follow those rest periods because you're not lifting as heavy. But if it's like deadlift day, for example, and you're lifting heavy on your deadlifts, then you need to take those rests understand that, you know what, I'm not going to take as long of a rest and maybe I won't be able to produce as much force or it won't be as good as I could. And it is what it is. Cause it got me a fucking desk. I got to be there. So it is what it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, I get 2.5 hours on non-work days with childcare, which is plenty of time to get cardio and lift in. So
yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I will definitely add that note to take the rest.
I don't write them like that for shits and giggles. They're important.
I know. But yeah, that's pretty much love progressive overload. That's the other thing I wanted to say. Progressive overload's awesome. Yes. I think that's the only reason why I've hit my 50 pounds. I think that's it. I think we're good.
Candace, you're the best. You're the best.
No, you're the best.
If you and your family or anyone, you're ever in Dallas, let us know. We'd love to see you. Go out to dinner, get a lift in. I would love that.
Do we have a date for the Inner Circle retreat yet?
We don't, not yet. Susan and I are going to, she's actually coming here in January. We're going to talk about it. we're gonna figure it out, and
okay,
we'll
I'm
let you know.
definitely saving my husband's going to Vegas in April by himself with his brother, and I'm not
Okay.
going, and I'm like, I'm gonna save that little nugget and I'm gonna use it for when I want to go to the inner circle retreat by myself. So
Smart. That's smart.
that's marriage.
That's how a good marriage works.
Exactly,
Candace, you're
exactly.
amazing. Please keep me up to date with everything.
Yeah.
Actually, can you just quickly share your Instagram that people can follow if they'd like to follow you along your journey and see about like what you're posting about?
Yeah, so it's Instagram Candy Kane. So KANDIE_KAIN. Why I still have that Instagram handle is beyond me. I created that when I started my Instagram when I was probably 21 years old, but I have kept it. So that's what we are.
It is what it is. I love
But
it.
that's where you'll see all my progress. And I post about my mini cut every day. So yeah, it's fun. I
Amazing.
Love it. So,
Thank
well,
you,
thank you so
Candace. I
much.
love you. It
It's
was
been
great
so
to speak with
great.
you. I hope I get to see you soon. Give your whole family my love, and I'll
I
talk to you soon.
will.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.